Welcome to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. My name is Matt Bilyeu. This podcast has the audio portions of our discussions on a Discord server. I certainly recommend joining that server so that you can join in the discussion and see the slides. You can find a link to the server in the show notes. You can also email me at matt.bilyeu, that's B as in boy, I-L-Y-E-U, at reasonablefaith.org. That's matt.bilyeu at reasonablefaith.org. I look forward to chatting with you. So today we're going to be talking about the argument from religious experience. And the argument from religious experience is actually a family of arguments. It's a category rather than a specific argument itself. In that category, you're going to find arguments like the argument from desire. This one was probably most popularized by C.S. Lewis. He made the case that we've got these longings for either God or ultimate meaning, and that they're not satisfied by anything in this world. And so he came to the conclusion that if we find within ourselves desires that are not satisfied by anything in this world, then for him the most logical conclusion is that we're not made for this world. So that's one type of argument, a sort of an argument from longing. The next one would be an argument from transformation. And so there's a lot of people, for example, who are hopelessly addicted or in other sorts of situations like that. And in coming to Christ, they are transformed. They're free from these addictions and their lives are completely transformed. And then finally is what's called the numinous experience, or what Douglas Gruthius calls the numinous experience. And that argument is basically just that one's direct experience of God. So this is more probably what you would have in mind if you think about a religious experience, would be this sort of numinous experience. And we're actually going to focus on that one tonight. The other ones are very interesting, but we're going to focus on the numinous experience argument tonight. And so the sort of pillar that it rests on is when we're justified in believing things that we experience. And Richard Swinburne had a quote that I think was pretty helpful. He wrote, "The principle of credulity," that's the principle that he purports, or he supports, I should say, "the principle of credulity claims that any basic belief, that is any belief that seems true, not because it is inferred from any other belief, is as such probably true merely on the believer's evidence that on balance it seems or appears true. So long as the believer does not have any counter evidence, and hence in the absence of such counter evidence, we are justified in believing any basic proposition that we find ourselves believing." And that's from the Coherence of Theism by Richard Swinburne. Now, Alvin Plantinga, I believe it was Plantinga, identifies three types of basic beliefs. Notice how he's qualifying it, saying any basic belief. It's not just any belief whatever, but any basic belief. So it's sort of a modified version of phenomenological conservatism. I like this more modest version myself. And Alvin Plantinga identifies three types of beliefs that would be basic beliefs. So the first one would be beliefs that you arrive at from your faculties. So you have a faculty for vision. When you see something, you're seeing it justifies that belief. You have a rational faculty. So if you reflect on, you know, the law of non-contradiction, for example, then in through that sort of rational experience, you might say, you're justified in believing in it. Not because of some other beliefs, but you just sort of experience the truth of that. You can sort of see that it's true, you might say. So these sort of faculty-based experiences are basic. Another category that Plantinga gives is memory. So you're justified on the basis of, I remember, you know, that what I had for breakfast this morning. I'm justified on the basis of my memory in believing that I did have that. And so that would be a sort of basic belief. And then the third one would be testimony. That's going to sound like it's your faculty for hearing, but what you're actually hearing is a series of noises. But you just find yourself, if you know the language, you just find yourself believing that they are saying such and such a message to me. And so you're not actually, like, you don't work it out and sit there and like, wait a minute, let me think this through. You just sort of find yourself believing that they're saying X when they're saying X to you. So you can see that this is like a very restrictive principle here of credulity, and it certainly seems reasonable to me. Swinburne goes on to make an argument that basically if you deny this principle, then you're left not believing anything. I mean, everything that you believe has to start somewhere, and so you have to have some sort of foundation that your beliefs are based on. And so that's sort of what he suggests.
is the foundation. Now, when we talk about numinous experiences, we want to identify exactly what it is we're talking about. Now, there's three elements to such a religious experience as this numinous experience we're talking about. There's the subject, there's the person who has the experience, there's the perception or interpretation of what it is that they're perceiving, and then there's the object to be perceived. So that's the claim. When you're making the claim that there's this religious experience, there's this, a triad, you might say, stage one, stage two, stage three. So in our slide here, you got the person who can see, they're seeing through the glasses or whatever, and then there's the object, the actual eye chart that they would see, or a stick figure looking at the house. There's the recognition of the house, which is actually different from the house itself. And then obviously there's the person who does the recognizing. So those are sort of our three examples. So what would somebody do to refute this? Like, you know, Swinburne mentions counter evidence. What would we do to refute this sort of a belief? How could you defeat such a basic belief? Well, there's a couple of ways. So first, you can show that the concept itself is incoherent. Our example here is we've got a guy wrote on a wall, "I have never been here," right? So obviously you can't be there to write it, but also have never been there. And so that statement can't be true. So you can show like there's an incoherence there. Or another one would be to show that it's ruled out by other evidence. And so, you know, for example, if I told you that I had an out-of-body experience and I floated above the earth and I saw that, lo and behold, the earth is actually flat and born on the back of a turtle, right? A la Native American folk stories or whatever. Well, in that case, you could show some photos from space and say, look, no turtle, right? So that's how you would defeat that belief. One of the key things I want to point out here, though, is that these religious experiences are defeasible. You know, you can actually defeat these. They're not unfalsifiable. A lot of people charge that sort of claim, but they are falsifiable. Maybe you find it difficult to do, but nonetheless, it certainly is. It is doable. So at that point, I think we have kind of the basic structure of the argument. You know, we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at objections, but the basics are we're justified in believing that which we experience, which I think is pretty reasonable. The believer claims to experience God, and then we got a couple of criteria or ways in which you would refute that. Curiously, with Christianity, we also have a sort of promise, and this is made by Jesus himself. And he said that, "Seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you." And so it's sort of a promise that you will experience God in some way if you seek and knock. And we'll get into a little bit about what exactly he means by that later. But
thank you for listening to this episode. If you find these podcasts helpful, please subscribe and share them with a friend. Also, please join our Discord server for live discussions. You can find the server link in the show notes along with my email address. I'll see you next time.